to do way too many things that I can really get done, but I'm going to do the best I can with them. I have three main things that I want to kind of speak about tonight. And my thoughts tonight are Lent, love, and the gifts of the Spirit. Lent, love, and the gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about all, we're going to start out talking about the about Lent. Lent is practiced by about six or seven religions. And it is the process of abstaining from certain things during the whole Lent season, which I think is 40 days. Is that correct? And that has to do with the 40 days that Jesus fasted in the wilderness. That's what I learned today. And I'm a big fan of Lent. What I mean by what I like about it is anything where we where the church is telling people, you know, there's a time to have everything, and there's a time to stop to fast certain things, to not, you know, in remembrance of Christ, in remembrance of the fact that we are supposed to be fasting people, and we don't push those things a lot, but that's what I have to say about that. I just love Lent. And it's, today is the first day of Lent. And I would encourage you, maybe for the next whatever time period, you might think of something that you might want to give up. Now, if you hate licorice, by all means, don't give up licorice if you hate it. But something that you like, you know, just tell yourself, I'm going to abstain. I'm going to withhold. In the name of Jesus, because of what he did, hey, you study that 40 days that he was in the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days. That was a major, major, major thing. And it broke, it helped to break the power that Satan had over this world. And so, praise God, I'm glad you're all here. And that's the first thing. And the next thing I would like to speak about is Valentine's Day. And today's straight up Valentine's Day. And I'll tell you what I want to say about Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is a time of love. And I read a book many years ago called Love is Not a Special Way of Feeling. See, that's what our generation is. Well, do I love this person? I don't love them. I just, but no, actually, love given to the church is a command. For instance, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for the church. And I believe that the best marriages are the ones where the husband is giving himself for his wife and his kids and his family. That's a true, see, love is not a feeling. Love is an action. And it starts with, in your head, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do what am I going to do? Father, you tell me, what am I going to do? Well, you look in the Word, and the next thing it says, love, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for the church. How about this one here? Lord, what's the greatest law? What is the greatest law? And the Lord said, there's two of them. He said, first of all, to love God with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your power, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now see, there's nothing touchy-feely about that. Either we're going to do that or we're not going to do that. And the third one that I thought about is the golden rule. Could you repeat it with me? Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. See, that's not a feeling. I'm not waiting for something to happen. No, it's you saying, how do you want to be treated? And I have failed in that area of my life many times, but I'm learning to pick up on those things and realize it's very, very, very important to love that way. Love is an action, not a feeling. It's not like the Partridge Family. I think I love you, so what am I so afraid of? I'm afraid of. It's a good thing I forgot the rest of it. because it's not really important. What's important is what I said about, that's in the Bible about love. Where are all? There's one. There's Kayla. And there's the other two if I need them. Okay. Well, so that was the second thing I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about love. You know, because today, what is it, the most blah, blah, something today, somebody was telling me, in the whole year, Valentine's Day is. Was that you telling me that? Somebody was telling me Valentine's Day is the most something or not. It's a big day, though, and it's important to everybody. Does anybody know what it is? Good. I guess I could say anything, and you wouldn't say, oh, that sounds good, Brother Angelo. No, it's a wonderful thing. And Lent is a wonderful thing because it reminds me of Jesus. And it's like we've got a gospel anymore where we don't challenge anybody to give of themselves to any. It's all about what you can have. And our movement, the faith movement, is at the top of the pack of being like that. Well, you can have this. There's over 7,500 promises made to mankind. Pray the blessing, pray the answer, and those things are good and right, but there's also, the balance of the gospel is there are times when we have to turn the other cheek, when we have to refrain from speaking, let somebody else have the last word. The word says a soft answer turns away wrath. And to think of others. You know, many years ago, I wanted to do something. And I remember telling the Lord, I want to do, Father, give me things to do that nobody else seems to want to do. I'll do those things. And I came up with several things, and they all had with giving of myself. And so, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, and we're going to continue our thoughts on the gifts of the Spirit. I hope you're enjoying that. I don't feel like I need to hurry up with any of that. I just need to try to touch on things that I think would be important to you. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 8, and that should be up there. And I'll just get that right here. And we're going to be talking about that. 1 Corinthians 12. And 8. Okay, I think I might even, you know what I'm going to do, fellas? I'm going to go to verse 1 there. If you could put me at verse 1, just follow me. I hope you have your Bibles, because I'm not kidding you. Man, that Bible ought to be like one of the members of your body. I mean, it's so important. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Okay, that's the unpardonable sin, stuff like that. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 4 is where we get in. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's all kinds. And what I'm going to show you tonight is that there are fruit spoken of in the Bible. And all of these things, you have to just let yourself know, I'm going to live like that. You're going to have faith to move in these gifts. My goal is to get you to where you will minister to one another. You know, sometimes Jill will get up, or Sister Melissa, and they'll have something to say, and they're giving of themselves. And some of you others, you do the same thing. Well, that's what we need to do. And these gifts help people. They help people if they're done right. So there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversity of operations, but the same God which works all in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, capital S, is given to every man to profit with all. These gifts are given to mankind that you can use these gifts and help somebody else. That's what they're for. And then it lists the 9 spiritual gifts, okay? But for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That's number one. To another is given the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts, plural, of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of these tongues. Now, I don't want to confuse you, but I want to inform you that there are 2 kinds of tongues. One is the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We read about that last week in Acts chapter 2. Okay? And that's not the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is when you're in a church service and all of a sudden somebody gets up and they speak in tongues and it's a word. Either for somebody or for the whole church. And then if it's done properly, the Bible says that there should be an interpreter, that somebody shouldn't just give a message in tongues and there not be an interpretation. So we've had that gift flowing in here before, but we haven't had it in a while. But that's why I'm touching on this. I'd like to see us get to where we move in the Spirit. It's a powerful thing. So let me go over them in those 2 verses. The first gift, number one, is the word of wisdom. Number 2 is the word of knowledge. Number 3 is the word of faith or the gift of faith. That's not faith. That's the gift of faith, spoken at a certain time to get something done. Number 4 is gifts, plural, of healing. There are many ways that the gifts move. By a spoken word, by laying on of hands, by anointing with oil. I can go on and on and on. The 5th gift of the Spirit is the working of miracles. Okay? The 6th gift of the Holy Spirit is the gift of prophecy. The 7th gift of the Holy Spirit is discerning of spirits, knowing one from the other, knowing if the spirit's of God or not of God. The 8th spirit is the gift of tongues, unlike the prayer language. It's the gift of tongues that's given in the church service. And then the last one, number 9, is the interpretation of tongues. And the word is clear that if somebody gives a gift of tongues in a church service, which is usually something kind of prophetic or something directional for the church or for a certain person, there should be an interpreter there. And we've had that gift. That's probably the gift that we've had. Tommy Patterson was one that would speak that a lot, and there were a few others that would speak in the gift of tongues, and most of the time I would interpret. I have the gift of interpretation. Now, those are the 9 spiritual gifts. Now, when we started this 3 weeks ago, when we started this teaching, I gave out some books to every family that wanted one, just charged them at cost, $1, for the Bible way to receive the Holy Spirit. And at the proper time, we'll do that again. We will make those available again. And if we run out, well, we'll just order some more. But I'm really passionate about you flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. It's made all the difference in the world in my life. And I just feel like God has taken care of me, and I've never doubted or shied away from the gifts of the Spirit. And I've always been in churches where the gifts flowed. I remember when I was baptized after I got saved in 1971, and Pastor Jerry Fry, he was our pastor, and there were several of us that were going to get baptized. And that offended my mother because she had me baptized a couple of times when I was a kid. Before it didn't mean anything to me. But But the thing was, I remember one of the things he said, now when I baptize you, and he said this, there was probably a dozen of us. This church was a church of about between 300 and 400 people. It was a good-sized church to really get some things done. He said, you may come up speaking in tongues. And I didn't speak in tongues then, but it wasn't long after that I spoke in tongues. Now, I prayed in tongues. And these gifts and the Holy Spirit, conflict between different groups. Some people don't believe in the gifts. They believe they were for the day of Pentecost, a long time ago, and that they're gone. I don't believe that. I don't see that in Scripture. And but there's a lot of different ideas, and I was up to be baptized at a certain, I'm sorry, up to be made a pastor at a certain denomination when we first moved here. I'll not mention it. But they said, we've got several churches that we'd like to put you in, Angelo, but all you have to do is deny this tongue stuff and this Holy Ghost stuff. And I just said, you know, I'll tell you what, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't do that for anything. I wouldn't do that if you put a gun to my head. I wouldn't do that. Because I believe in the power of God, which is wrought by the Holy Spirit. And one of the deacons, sometime after, we were outside, and I said, you know what? We'll just see where this church goes, and let's just see where. And he didn't like that. Of course, I said a lot of things that people don't like. But that's how I felt. And that was many years ago. And then in May of 1987, we birthed Paris Christian Center. And the rest, you can just see for yourself where we're going and what we're doing. We're so excited. He wants us to give ourselves to people that have less than we do, is what he wants. And I looked today. Somebody said to me, we've got more volunteers, and we've got a lot of them. And I can tell you this here. What a beautiful thing. We have people, the only time we see them is on Wednesday because they want to do something. People want to do something for the Lord. They want to do something that they feel is useful. And it doesn't really matter if they come and sit in our church or not. We let them. We give food to everybody. We don't turn anybody down. We give food. And some people take more than they should. And we try to bite our lip when that happens. And we try to make it through. I'll tell you what I'm concerned about. There is a time that problem, I think, is going to work itself out. Because I don't think things are getting better. If you believe the end time predictions of the Bible, no, things are not getting better. No, things are going to get worse, and we will not have peace until the Prince of Peace comes back. And so I believe that I was in town early this morning in Scranton. I had to return a movie. I was there very early. You know what I noticed? Where the line is, where the folks come, was already long. An hour and a half before we even got there, there was already people in line. I can remember this. I lived in California, in San Jose at the time, and there was, the oil embargo of 1973 or 4 in there. And it was so bad in California, those lines, that depending on the last number in your on your driver's license, if it was an odd number, you could go and fill up one day. If it was an even number, you could go fill up that day. And I remember sitting there in that line and watching people fight and all kinds of things going, restlessness and people just being restless and contrary with one another. And the Lord showed me a vision. And I was just a young man. And I saw a store, a grocery store, and there was a line that just went out. I couldn't see the end of the line. And all of a sudden, that store closed its doors. They were out of food. And the Lord spoke to me as a young man. He said, Angelo, You're going to see this. You're going to see this happen. You know what? We're living in that day right now. And Arkansas happens to be the number one food needy state in the United States. And also, you know what else we're number one at? We have the largest divorce rate. Also, man, what a place to be if you want to do something for Jesus. Amen? Right here. We don't have to go any farther than the parking lot of our church, and we can help people. And it just blesses my heart to see 94-year-old Archie out there, 94 years old, carrying boxes and doing things. There's another little lady, she's shorter than him, and I think she's about 92. She's in her 90s, and they work.
She's 94, and Archie's 90.
Okay. She's 94, and Archie is 90. But you know, there's something in their heart. It's kind of like that song, He Touched Me. See? I was shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me. Now I am no longer the same. Let me tell you something. Something happened to that little 94-year-old lady sometime in her life. And something happened to Archie, that they would come out. I've seen them out there in the elements. And you pray for us. That's just that built that manor center right there. That's just the beginning of what we're going to do. We may add on to that, or however we're going to do it, we're going to make it where the workers can be inside. That's our goal, that they can be outside of the elements, away from the snow, away from things that will hurt them. But we had more volunteers today, didn't we? We had so many people just saying, is there something I can do? I feel like I want to do something in my heart. And let me tell you, it's the same with these gifts, folks. If you get the flowing and the gifts of the Spirit, you can help people. You can absolutely and totally help them. I've seen Jill get up and give words to people in here and just blow my mind. And I remember asking Kelly, did she know about so-and-so? She said, no, Dad, she didn't. She's moving in the Holy Spirit. That's just in the Spirit of God. We can all do that. The Word says that all through talking about the gifts, we're all here, and it's to profit somebody else beside ourselves. To help somebody else. Amen? Now, tell you what we're going to do now. Now we're going to look at the nine. There are also nine spiritual fruit. Okay, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And we will look there. Okay. Now, here is the fruit of the Spirit. Count them with me. But the fruit of the Spirit, not the gifts, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and temperance, self-control, against which there is no law. Let's count them. One, got it written down right here. The first one is love. The second one is joy. The third one is peace. The fourth one is long-suffering or patience. The fifth one is gentleness or kindness. The sixth one is goodness. The seventh one is faith or faithfulness. The eighth one is meekness. And the last one, I think a very important is temperance or self-control. When you're full of the Spirit and you're aligned yourself and moving and you purpose in your heart, I'm going to walk according to the Holy Spirit. Remember what we read in the book of John chapter 20 last week? Jesus, he comes back. It's after the resurrection. And he shows himself to the disciples. And he breathes on them. And he says, receive the Spirit. That's where those disciples were saved. See, couldn't be saved until Jesus was crucified. Couldn't be saved until Jesus was brought back to life. But then they were. But now when we get to the book of Acts, it says, look, you guys now wait here. Do what I said and wait here until the promise of the Spirit comes. So here they are. They've already been born again. What else did they need? Well, there was 120 of them in an upper room. They needed, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were all at one place at one time, suddenly there came the sound of a rushing, mighty wind, and tongues of fire sat on each and every one of them, and they all spake in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And we're going to, when I feel like it's right, I'm going to ask people that may not be baptized in the Holy Spirit if they want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we'll just, I don't know, I don't think we might not know enough about it yet, or might, or, but I don't feel like in this service to do that, but I certainly have prayed for a bunch of people to get baptized in the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and that's what happens. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. I want to know, and it doesn't have to be, is there any questions about what we're talking on this subject of the Holy Spirit? That's all right. That's okay. I'm hoping that you catch this, that you get a hold of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the nine spiritual gifts, and that you understand what you can do. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, that's where you can find the fruit of the Spirit. And you can pray over those two verses just like that. You can say, Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning I pray, Lord, I want to walk in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Help me to walk in love today. Father, there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory that doesn't come from because everything is going okay. It's a joy that comes from the Holy Spirit, no matter what's happening in my life. I want that, Father. I want that. You know, Millie and I, it hasn't been fun in the last little bit. She's had terrible, terrible physical problems. And it's been awful to see my wife suffer. And we have patiently had our devotions every day. Every day we say, Father, into your hands we commit our spirits. And we believe, and we always take a portion of the word, and then we pray that same portion of the word. See, man does not live by bread alone. You know what that means? Just because you got a nice house or a nice car or nice this or nice that doesn't mean you're going to be happy. You know when I really got that? Do you remember a fellow named Freddie Prinze? Yeah. Freddie Prinze, Chico and the Man. That was in the 70s. He took a .38 and blew his brains out. He was one of the most popular young people. And I said, Father, what happened? Why would he do that? And he said, Angelo, man does not live by bread alone. It's not enough to have all your bills paid, which a lot of people don't. I live debt-free. I've learned how to live debt-free. I learned it in the Word, okay? But you know what? That's not the top of it. See, it's man does not live by bread alone. Man lives by the Word of God. And to live by the Word of God, you have to be in the Word of God. You need to know the promises of God, and you need to know how to pray them for your family, because the promises are for you. Okay? It's God's gift to us, all those promises. He loves us. And truly, if you want these things, Father, I want you to just put your hand up if you want these. Father, in Jesus' name, everybody that has their hands up, I'm asking you to emulate and to bring to them love, Father, and bring them joy even when things ain't going right. Father, in peace even in the storm, and long-suffering, Father. And Father, even people like me that are fiery too much, gentleness. Help us to be gentle, Father, and goodness, Father. And Father, help them to have that faith, that faithfulness, Father. Faith to be faithful in their walk with you. And meekness, Father. Meekness, help them to be humble and meek. And Father, the last fruit of the Holy Spirit, temperance, self-control, in the name of Jesus. Give us all more self-control. If anything defines this generation all over the world today on this earth, as people have lost self-control. It's anything goes. And you know what? the deeper you get into that, the more messed up you get. I'm going to tell you, I was at my deepest days when I was 19 years old. I was a rock musician in a motorcycle gang, doing everything under the sun that I shouldn't have done, and I became suicidal. And I had voices telling me to kill myself, and I tried to do that. And I began to realize, man, there was a song at that time called "Is That All There Is?" And I thought, that's what I thought. Is that all there is? And I'm feeling like this inside, and I'm broken. And in a moment, at my mother's kitchen table at 1765 Cathay Drive, San Jose, California, on the east side of San Jose, a man came and led me in the sinner's prayer. And that quick, Christ came into my life. I've never been the same. Have I been perfect? No, I still ain't perfect. I've done things I'm ashamed of. Okay? But you know what I'm sure of? I'm sure of this. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. See, I don't think he does. See, you're not going to get by in life on what you're wondering about, what you think. It's what you know will finally get you one place or another. What do you really want in your life? You know what we want? We want to be loved. Nobody can love you like the Trinity, like the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Nobody can love us like that and help us and forgive us. Love is forgiveness. I've learned how to forgive as good as I can right now. By the way, I was forgiven. That's what helped to change me. And I'm telling you, I'm going to be 73 this year. I'm excited about it. And I'm telling you, there's only one way to live. And that's by asking Christ into your life and letting him have ownership in your life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Girls, come up here with me if you would. And Ernie, I asked Ernie before. We're so glad, you know, Ernie had some kind of we don't even know what it really was. Something happened. But he's doing better now. And I asked him, Ernie, could you help these girls and we'll serve everybody communion? Now, this is what I'd like you to do. And this is what my wife brought up to me. This is what she said to me today. She said, Angelo, you know, I was asking the Lord. I can't hardly get on my knees anymore. And she said, the Lord told her, you can stand. We're going to seek the Lord right now. If you can come to the altar or make an altar where you are, so be it. That's what I'm going to do. But if you can't get on your knees and you want to acknowledge God, you can stand. Amen. Let's take a moment. Give us some music. Don't ever misunderstand the Word of God when it comes to making an altar. God wants everybody that will to take communion. There's open communion here. He wants us to take it. He doesn't want us to look at our life and say, well, man, I'm just not good enough. Look at here. If you know you got a problem in your life and you confess it to God while we're examining our hearts, like the Word says, you're forgiven. Well, how can he forgive like that? I can't forgive like that. Maybe you can't, but he can. And that's the way he wants us to forgive, the same way. Just forgive. Right now, take a moment and think about somebody.